Thank you for those glimpses, if you like, into what you did. I was sorry I wasn't able to be on this walkabout myself. I had to be down at a meeting in London on that day. But it's a reminder, I think, that we live in communities. And so I want to just reflect very briefly with you about community in light of the gospel reading that was chosen for today. I didn't choose the gospel. I think David chose that. But just to reflect on what it says to us about community. Because Jesus himself lived, it seems to me, in the midst of an ever-changing community, the community of his disciples, but also the different crowds that he met as he moved around. And so the gospel reading this morning was about one particular crowd, the ones who were hungry, the 5,000 who were fed. And if you look at this story, it wasn't that Jesus invited these people to come and listen to him. There weren't posters scattered about the town saying, Jesus is here, come and hear him. They kind of discovered him. They came uninvited. I get the impression that he was tired. He wanted a quiet space to be on his own, and yet the people caught up with him, as so often was the case. And I think the first point I want to make is that our communities, the communities of which we're a part, and we are part of a community, I think sadly sometimes as a church we find it easier to be apart from the community, that we are part of the community. The communities of which we're a part, in many senses, are not of our own choosing, and they're ever-changing. The community of Rosyth is very different from when the Methodist Church was established here 100 years ago next year, when this building was put up, when your own congregations were established. Times change and move on. And these changes, as it were, sometimes catch us up. They present themselves to us. And so there is that sense in which the community comes to us. We do not choose that, even if you've, in a sense, chosen to come and live in Rosyth. Nevertheless, the changing nature of it means it's always bringing new things, new opportunities, new challenges to you. And so what was the response, secondly, the response of Jesus as these uninvited people came to him? Well, tired as he was, it says that he felt sorry for them. Compassion, some translations say pity. Pity today is perhaps a bit of a patronizing word, I pity you. But I mean, he felt something for them. He didn't just say, oh, more people. Or was it a good turnout today? That was a pretty good gig, 5,000. No, he looked at them and he felt pity. He felt sorry for them. And he spoke to them, and of course they were hungry. What is our response to the community that comes to us, the communities of which we're a part? We need, as churches, to be looking out into our communities, to be concerned. And we see, of course, today that churches are involved in food banks, street pastors, all sorts of initiatives to help people, refugees. But it's very easy for all of that just to sort of slip into organizational mode. How can we best do this? Who's on the rota? What's the, you know, all the rest of it? But at the heart of Jesus' response was that he felt compassion. Do we feel for the people in our communities? Do we as God's people have a passion, a compassion for others? Or is our expression of our Christian faith a mere, almost mechanical sort of thing? But for Jesus, it came from his heart. He felt sorrow, he felt pity, compassion for them. And as we think about how we interact with our communities, our families, our people, places of work, whatever it may be, we need to have that heart of the love of Christ within us. And then thirdly, and only, don't worry, we've only got four very brief points this morning if you're counting. Thirdly, he met them where they were, at their point of need, their hunger, as the story went on. They were hungry. Imagine all these 5,000 stomachs rumbling in unison. And he met them where they were. We need to meet people where they are, not where we think they should be. So often our first response is, oh, come to church. Our services are on Sunday at 9 a.m. or 11 a.m. or whatever it might be. Do come along. You'd be very welcome. But if you look at the pattern of Jesus, he went to where people were. He went to the hungry. He went to the leper. He went to the beggar. That was where he was. And as churches, I think we need not only be a church with an open door to welcome people in. We need to be a church with an open door so that we can go out and be part of the community of which we are a part. Jesus went to where they were. And then I think one of the most intriguing things about this story, and actually several other stories about Jesus, I think about the story of the woman at the well, for example. It wasn't all a one-way street. Jesus fed them because someone gave bread and fish. Now, in Mark's account and in Matthew and Luke's account, it's not quite clear where this food came from. The impression seems to be given that it was something the disciples had. If you read John's account, it was a boy who gave the barley bread and the fish, and Jesus was able to do the miracle. But whichever was the case, Jesus didn't provide it himself. Just as in the woman at the well, he asked for a cup of water. He didn't say to her, "I can give you a cup of water." He asked for what she could give him. And in John's account of this story of the 5,000, it powerfully, I think, says that he took the fish and the barley bread from a boy. Barley bread is something we might go to a supermarket today and say, "Well, that's a bit of a change, I'll try that. Slightly exotic." It wasn't slightly exotic for that boy, because barley bread in the time of Christ was the bread that poor people ate. The wealthy ate wheat bread. So that word barley tells you that this boy was poor, and the fish would have been dried fish. And so that gift that he had to offer didn't come from his wealth, his high status. It came from his poverty and where he was in society. And Jesus didn't turn away from that and say, "I'm sorry, that's not good enough. I'm the Son of God. I can only do miracles with food that's bought in Waitrose. And you've scraped along in the Co-op or the Lidl's or Aldi or somewhere or ever." No. He took what was offered and then did the miracle. And as well as thinking about what we can give to others in our community, we need to be a receiving church. It was interesting in those few insights. The people were grateful for what they had learned in the walkabout. And therefore, we need to be a receiving church. And I'm not speaking here about receiving money when we want a new roof on our church. I'm talking about something far more profound. In accepting what others can give, even if it's only a cup of cold water or a piece of barley bread, we are saying that what that person has to offer is worthy to be received. And more than that, that the person is worthy, and that we are gracious enough to receive it. Do we, as a church, have enough of the grace and love of Christ about us that we feel love and compassion for our communities? Do we have enough of the grace and love of Christ about us that we are willing and ready to receive what the communities of which we're a part have to give? Jesus had that grace, and a miracle happened. What miracles of grace are we willing to allow Christ to work through us today?